Focus in on the Word of God this morning. Something important for you to learn this morning. We're going to learn about... You guys are so ahead of me. One of these days I'll preach on something else. But no, I don't think so. What could be more important than God's love? Nothing. What can be more important than loving one another? What can be more important than showing people love? Nothing. So I guess we're going to preach about love. Not only am I going to preach about it and teach about it, we're going to show it and do it, aren't we all, right? Yes, we are. Yes, we are. Let's look at the book of Luke this morning. And just in case you didn't understand how important love is or love was important to Jesus, we're going to read from Scripture here that shows us that. Luke 10, verse 25. Luke 10, 25. One day, an expert in religious law stood to test Jesus by asking him this question. So just imagine, he's there amongst all the people. He's at the synagogue, right, or outside the temple. Wherever he is, somebody stands up. This religious leader has an important question to ask Jesus and to test him to see if he could get it right. Teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him. Do this and you will live. When is this man going to begin living? The day he begins to love God with all his heart, all his soul, all his strength, all his mind. That means how much of the soul, the mind, and the strength? Uh-oh, love's getting harder, isn't it? Because how many of us, if we were honest, we love with some of our mind, some of our strength, and some of our, right? Depending on, some, right? Depends on the day, right? And loving our neighbor as ourself. We really pull that one off, don't we? Okay. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. If you want to truly live, learn to love God with all of yourself and learn to love others more than yourself. That's how you truly live a life that's fulfilling. The man wanted to justify his actions. Evidently, he doesn't do this very often. Loving others, his neighbor, or God, or whatever, right? So he's going to ask the question, or maybe he does love God. You know, it's easy to love God, right? You can't see, touch, or feel God, right? Not in front of your face, right? We know we can feel God, but I'm talking about in the literal, right? So it's easy to forget about God even. But your neighbor, now that person's in your face sometimes, aren't they? The man wanted to justify his actions, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Could you kind of explain that one to me, Jesus? Just exactly who is my neighbor? I know my neighbor that lives on my left and my right. You mean that kind of, that my neighbor? Wanted to justify his actions. What is this telling us that's probably going on with this man? He maybe only loves those that are like him, right? And he wants to know, what's your definition of a neighbor? Is it somebody that's just like me that lives in my town and lives in my, on my street? Somebody that looks like me, sounds like me, is exactly like me? Is that my neighbor? That's got to be my neighbor, right? Could be. Jesus replied with an illustration. A Jewish man was traveling on a trip from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes and money, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a Jewish priest came along. Ta-da! He's going to definitely do something, right? A Jewish priest, a man of God, right? But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed over to the other side of the road and passed him by. What? A temple assistant, just slightly under the priest, a temple assistant who's always busy getting the temple ready for worship, making sure all the accoutrements are all, you know, all the serving items and all of the altar items and everything's all shiny and everything like that, and making sure the altar is all set up. That's the temple assistant, right? That's who that person is. A temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there. Whoa, this guy is really beat up. Holy mackerel, what the heck happened to him? Whoa. Man, he's all bloody. Better not let him in the temple. He might get blood on something. He's all dirty. The temple assistant walked over and looked at him lying there, but he also passed by on the other side. Where's he headed? To the temple. He's got work to do. He's got to get church ready for all the worshipers to come love their God with all their heart and their mind and their soul and everything else in worship. A priest, a Jewish priest, a temple assistant. Surely somebody's going to walk by from another church, right? Now, what would happen if a Cornerstonian walked by? Stop in the name of love. Right? Okay, the song's going on. I'll let you get that out of your head. Then a despised Samaritan came along. A despised Samaritan. You understand what they're doing here is the juxtaposition between the two types of people, right? Jews and Samaritans hated each other, right? In biblical times, right? Thems and us, right? Those and them, and we and you, and whatever. They were different from each other. Different religious beliefs, different backgrounds, different lifestyles, whatever you want to call it. They were different, and they despised each other. Not only that, people despised Samaritans. Just so you get the picture of this. So there's a Jewish man lying down, and he sees above him a Samaritan. Oh. See, sometimes we only think about the Samaritan, right? We know that he's the good Samaritan. You know the story, right? You know how it ends. But think about that Jewish person in that moment, looking up. First of all, what was a Samaritan looking at? An injured person. What was the priest looking at? An injured person. What was the temple assistant looking at? An injured person. But see, the priest was too busy. He couldn't stop. He was heading somewhere else. The temple assistant wouldn't stop. Stopped long enough to see, wow, he's in trouble. But he was so in a hurry to go somewhere else that was more important, right? What could be more important than a person? Well, God's in that person, right? What could be more important? What could be more important than any person that's injured? Is getting to that appointment you're heading to more important? Is rushing to church, you know, gotta get the right seat? You know, somebody might take your seat in church. You gotta get there on time. What would cause you to stop and help another person? empathy, love, unconditional love. See, even though this was a despised Samaritan, he might have been despised by others, but he obviously knew God. And inside his heart, he knew how to love anybody, anywhere, anytime, didn't he? The despised Samaritan came along, and when he saw the man, he felt deep pity. He felt compassion. He felt for the man, right? He saw a problem, and he felt what the man was feeling, hurt. Kneeling beside him, he kneeled down beside him. The Samaritan soothed his wounds with medicine and bandaged them. Did he carry this medicine and bandages with him? Possibly. Did he go and get some bandages? Did he run to the CVS and say, hey, we need some bandages? I mean, maybe he doesn't carry them on him, right? We don't know the whole story, but think about it. Put this in your own life, right? Call 911. Sometimes you're 911. Sometimes you're the only person that would be there in that moment. Now, we're talking about physical wounds, right, that you see. What about emotional wounds that people have? What about hurt? What about shame? What about guilt? What about loneliness? What about struggle? What about grief? You can look at people and you can see it. If you're really paying attention and you decide to really look at some situation a person is in, you can do more than just pray for them, can't you? Because, you know, obviously the priest, I'm sure he left the man lying there, and he took off and went to church and prayed for the man. God send someone to help that man. My temple assistant blew it. Send somebody else, God. If you have to, even send a Samaritan, whatever, any person, God. Who are you in the story? Careful. You just might have to live those words. I'll be the one. I'll be the one to stop on my busy life. I'll be the one. I don't know this person. Right? Excuse me, sir. Are you a Cornerstonian by chance? If you are, I'll help you. No. You don't look anything like me. Where are you from? Who are we to help? When? So even when you're busy doing something else. It's easy to help in many ways, isn't it, when it's convenient? Right? I mean, I think Pastor Jamie and I, we've got our days figured out. Mondays and Thursdays, we meet together, and nothing else can bother us during that time. So stay away from the church on Mondays and Thursdays. We're studying how to minister to people and learning all about that by studying about Jesus and saying, oh, wow, that's what we should do. Now, would that be, like, ridiculous? When do you expect a pastor to be available? 24/7, 365. Beautiful. So when are we supposed to expect you? 8 to 5. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, the first Friday of the second of the month, of the third day, right after I get my paycheck. I got to pay my bills, and then I'll show up. Oh, not when I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts. I got to get my coffee. Easier said than. When does God expect us to help? When you see a need. See, all three of these people did what? They saw the man. It wasn't like they didn't see him. It wasn't like somebody saw him and went and told somebody else, hey, I saw this man. Because the person that didn't see it, that might be the one that goes and helps, right? If you see something, do something. If someone's hurting and maybe you don't know how to minister to them, that's okay. Do something in the meantime while you're dialing 911 or my cell phone number. Either way. Depends what you need in the moment. We pastors, we're here to help you help others, but you start the ball rolling, right? See, we don't know everything about everybody that comes to our church, believe it or not. And I know. But how could we know some things? When you ask for help or tell us that someone's in need of help, right? But in the meantime, bandage the wound. Stop the bleeding. You can give a person a hug. You can give a person an ear. You can just find out what they might need in some way, shape, or form. But you step in and love them right through it, don't you? Regardless. Then the man put him on his own donkey, took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day, so obviously he took care of him how long? Dropped him in the inn. Hey, guys, okay, he's good. I got to go. Give him a nice room. I'm out of here. I got to get to work. He evidently stayed overnight, didn't he? Stay as long as necessary. Spend time in the presence of people when they're needing something, whatever it might be. Time is so valuable to give to somebody else. You might not be able to heal them and solve their problems because we are not fixers. Understand that. We have a Savior who saves. But we can certainly introduce them to the Savior by loving them and being there for them, right? He took care of him. The next day, he handed the innkeeper 2 pieces of silver and told him to take care of the man. So now he's even paying someone to take care because he did have to leave. So he goes above and beyond, takes his own money, doesn't he? And says, here, you finished a job I started. Make sure he's okay. And then he says, his bill runs higher than that, I'll pay the difference next time I am here. Obviously, the Samaritan was doing what? The same thing the Jewish man was, passing through Jericho, right? Going somewhere else. But he stopped in the name of love, didn't he? And he went above and beyond. I'll continue the story that Jesus was telling. Now, which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Which one was a neighbor? I wonder what the religious leader thought. Let me think about this. What one was the neighbor? Let me think. Hard question, wasn't it? Easy question, wasn't it? Who was the neighbor? The man who had mercy. The man who stopped in the name of love and did something. That's the one that was the neighbor to the man. It didn't matter whether that man was a neighbor. You see how Jesus flipped it? Does it matter who our neighbor is? What are we to be? A neighbor to somebody else. It doesn't matter who they are. If they're a person that's in need, we step in and help them. They are our neighbor, or we become their neighbor. And it doesn't matter who they are because they're a person that's hurting. And we're here to help who? Everybody, all the time, everywhere. Even when we're busy. What are we in such a hurry about all the time? That we got so much on our plates, right? That we're so busy doing that a person could be passed by. Really think about it. How important is it really to get to Walmart by 4 o'clock so you can get the best bread on the aisle? Or whatever it is, you're in such a hurry. I don't know. I'm talking about my life, I guess. I gotta get the milk. They're gonna run out of 1%. I gotta get there. Phone rings. Can you go down to such and such? Oh, I was headed to Walmart. Are we always so busy that we can't stop and help another human being? Oh, because we love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and our neighbor as we feel like it. When it's convenient. When I'm in the mood for it. After I've had my coffee in the morning. Probably a good idea. Okay. That is helping your neighbor, yes. Now that I think about it, thank you for understanding. Oh, which man would you say was a neighbor to the man who was attacked by the bandits? Jesus asked. And the man replied, the one who showed him mercy. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same. And I added here, or said, now which of these would you say love the man? Right? Because love is action like that, where you don't know the person and you stop and help them anyway. You care more about what's happening to them than your own personal life, what's happening to you. Which brings me to Philippians 2, 3, 4. So you can remember this one, right? Philippians 2, 3, 4. Philippians 2, 3, 4. Philippians. 2, 3, 4. Beautiful. Nice job. Okay, so here it is. Philippians 2, 3, 4. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble. Thinking of others as better than yourself. That's what humility is. Don't think only about your own affairs or own interests or own life or own schedule. I'm adding some words. But be interested in others too and what they are doing. When they are hurting. When they have been beaten up by life. Don't just think about you. Think about others. Which others? Everybody, everywhere, all the time. Yeah. 24/7, 365. And every once in a while, you'll sleep. True love and unconditional love that God has for us, God, Jesus Christ, as you know and you see in scriptures repeatedly, he was heading somewhere to do something for something plan he had, right? And very often, a person stopped him along the way, didn't they? And not once did Jesus ever say, oh, can't you know I'm heading to Galilee? Oh, not once did he say, I'll get to you later. Let me put you on my calendar. He stopped in the name of love right in that moment. Isn't it good to know? Listen, even if a person isn't around you sometimes, do you know that God will stop everything and help you? Do you believe that this morning? And sometimes God uses Jesus with skin, another human being. Another person to step in and help you. What we all have to do is pay attention. Keep our eyes on other people, looking for clues. Some are very subtle. Some are very dramatic. Sometimes we see a person just broken by life, beaten up, hopeless, helpless. And what are we going to do? We're going to stop in the name of love before you break God's heart. We cannot love God without loving another person. It can't be done. You think you can, but really, that's not love at all. Jesus did not come to be served. He did not come to be worshipped. He did not come to be holier than thou. He came to die a horrific death on the cross so that we could truly live. He came to show love in action in the greatest form possible. And along his ministry, he stopped and helped any person anywhere all the time, no matter who they were. Jesus rejected no one ever. Jesus didn't care about credentials. He didn't care about their lifestyle. He didn't care about their sins. He didn't care about their background. He didn't care about their size, shape, gender, or anything else. All that Jesus saw was people, a person, just like you and me. He saw us and loved us so much that he's bandaged our wounds, emotionally and spiritually speaking. He's taking good care of us all because he's the good shepherd. And he loves everybody, everywhere, all the time. And he set an example for us that we're going to follow. Make sure when you make a commitment to God, you mean it. Because we don't want to be like clouds that promise rain and don't bring any rain. We can say, let me be the one, God. Let me be a neighbor to whoever it is, however it is, whenever it is. Let's go above and beyond. Not only stopping and caring, but doing something. And sometimes that means even taking money out of our own pocket to help another person, to help a ministry like we have here in this church. But especially to love anybody and everybody, no matter who they are, where they came from. So if you want to truly live, learn to love like Jesus did. Oh, better yet, you can even learn to love like the Samaritan did. Whoever you want to follow in that example. That Samaritan had more spirituality and love in him than that temple priest and that temple assistant. So guess what? You don't have to be a priest or a temple assistant. Guess what? You can serve God and help others. You can show love. In fact, you may be the only person in that moment that can. So you ready to begin today to care more for others than yourself? You ready to love God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength? And your neighbor? More than yourself? All right. You said it from your lips to God's ears. Now God will give you awesome opportunities now to stop in the name of love. Amen? Amen. Amen.